In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So in the second lesson today, Jesus heals a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Jesus touches the man's ears, and he spits and touches the man's tongue, and he says, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And the lesson says, "And straightway the man's ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." One of my leitmotifs in preaching, one of the things I bang on about, is the spiritual meaning of the scripture lessons, and also the spiritual meaning of Jesus's miracles and his teachings. He wasn't just performing magic tricks, in other words, but what he did was symbolic, all of his miracles. They mean something. They're meant to communicate as well as to, you know, heal, do the primary thing that they're due, but they're meant for us as well as for the objects of Jesus' healing. And this morning, this miracle that we encounter in the second lesson is no different. I want to talk about spiritual hearing, therefore, and its precondition, which is silence. Last week, I concluded my little homily with a brief word from an Eastern monk named Peter of Damascus about spiritual stillness. And silence, just note, is a corollary to stillness. They're really actually the same thing. Silence, stillness. Last Monday, there was a depressing opinion piece in the Washington Post by a fellow about my age named Perry Bacon, a contemporary of mine at Yale, as it happens. The piece was about why Perry Bacon does not go to church anymore, and his reasons are sort of predictable. Though he says he misses church in some ways, in short, Christianity does not reflect his values, he says, so he does not go. This attitude represents the ascendancy in our time and place of what in the 1980s the sociologist Robert Belloc called Sheilaism, named for a nurse called Sheila Larson, whom Bella and his colleagues interviewed during the course of their study of American religious habits. This is how Sheila Larson, the nurse, described her own religion. She said, "I believe in God. I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way, though. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. It's just try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, I guess take care of each other. I think God would want us to take care of each other." How lovely. But here's the thing. If you're practicing Sheilaism, if you're tuned in to your own little voice, you'll never hear the voice of God. You're spiritually deaf, like the man in the parable from the second lesson. And I think that Sheilaism has become the dominant religion in American society, in modern society. In fact, I think that it's a religion created by and for modern society. I mean, what makes society to be modern are the very things that foster Sheilaism. The emphasis on personal autonomy, understanding freedom to be the same thing as disinhibition, the upending of moral restraints or any unchosen commitments whatsoever, and so forth. Listen to your own little voice. You do you. And it's not just our own little voices that are drowning out the still small voice of God. It's also our smartphones and especially the social media that are on them. And this is not just something that is happening to us, but something that is being perpetrated on us by corporations, some of which have accrued more wealth and power than most nation states, precisely by foisting these addictions on us that make hearing the voice of God in scripture or in nature all but impossible. I believe this phenomenon is as egregious as what Purdue Pharma perpetrated on the world over the last few decades with oxycodone and addictive opioids. In the year 2018, a fellow named Chamath Palihapitiya, a former senior executive at Facebook who quit, told an audience at Stanford University, "I feel tremendous guilt. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying society. Because," he said, "social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, etc., leverage the very same neural circuitry used by slot machines and cocaine to keep us using their products as much as possible, and therefore to keep the money flowing into their coffers." Again, this is not just something that is happening to society, but something that is being done to society deliberately. And its effects and follow-on effects are manifest. The proliferation of Sheilaism is one, and with it the decline in church participation and participation in various civic associations and community fora. The epidemic of neurosis afflicting so many people, especially young people. Our poisonous politics, the widespread confusions about sex and gender, and on and on. What of relevance does Jesus have to say? Well, in today's second lesson, he says, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Or in another place in Mark's gospel, he says, "be silent and come out of him." To put it another way, we in America in 2023 stand in need of being delivered and healed, like the deaf mute in today's second lesson. But even in order to hear Jesus' healing command, to say nothing of hearing him speak in scripture or in nature, we have to want it. Which is why Jesus asked yet another afflicted man in John's gospel, "Dost thou want to be healed?" In other words, do you really want it? Or would we rather just keep clicking and scrolling, keep practicing Sheilaism, keep listening to our own little voices, keep investing in the overpriced and underperforming outrage market? What do we want for ourselves? What do we want for our children and our grandchildren? If we want to be healed, we need to understand that only Jesus can heal us. We can't do it ourselves because we are not the eternal and divine Word. That's part of what the Gospels teach us, including in today's second lesson. But what we can do to prepare ourselves to receive Jesus' healing is prepare ourselves. And here are two very important things that we can do to prepare ourselves to be healed, if that's what we want. One, cultivate stillness and silence. And two, pay attention. Both of these things are key elements in mature prayer. With regard to the first, the cultivation of silence, I would recommend that you set aside a definite amount of time every day, some number of minutes, to be away from your devices and away from other people, and to be alone and quiet before the Lord. Listen, I'm by no means a paragon or an expert in this, but I do try. And I'll tell you what I often do. I go into St. David's Chapel on a weekday morning to read morning prayer. I sit down before the altar, and after I've marked my prayer book and my Bible to the appropriate places, I close my eyes and I take 3 deep, slow breaths. At the end of each breath, I whisper to myself, "The Lord is here." Then I take 3 more deep breaths, and this time whisper, "Lord, have mercy on me." Then I read my office. With regard to my second recommendation, paying attention, I think you know what that means. But I'll tell you 2 things to pay attention to. In fact, I've already told you. The first is scripture. Read it regularly. If you need a reading plan, you can use the one in the prayer book. But there are many reading plans that are widely available. Pick one that suits you and read the scriptures deliberately and regularly and with discipline. Then really ask yourself what the Lord is saying in what you read. And don't presume that you know. And don't come to it with a critical or a skeptical attitude. Understand that the Bible is the word of the Lord, and that it is His word especially and specifically to you. The second thing to pay attention to is nature. Take a walk in the woods. Ask yourself, what's there? What isn't there? What's there now that should not be there? What's missing that should be there? How are you a part of what you see and experience? Last week, as I mentioned, I quoted Peter of Damascus, an Eastern monk who lived 1,000 years ago, who said about stillness and silence the following: if we are to attain the humility and spiritual knowledge necessary for the understanding of the mysteries hidden in the divine scriptures and in all of creation, we need devotion and stillness. Silence is the highest gift of all. Be quiet, be still, pay attention, read, pray. Listen for the voice of Jesus commanding first for your ears to be opened to His word, and then for your tongue to be loosed to speak in accord with His truth, not yours. That would be Shelaism. This is how we can become agents for the healing of society, by allowing Jesus to heal us. I'll leave you with the words of an ancient Christian hymn. Deafened ears of sound unconscious, every passage blocked and closed. At the word of Christ responding, all the portals open wide. Hear with joy friendly voices and the softly whispered speech. Every sickness now surrenders, every listlessness departs. Tongues long bound by chains of silence are unloosed and speak aright, while the joyful paralytic bears his pallet through the streets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.